Pastor, I appreciate the encouragement there and the announcement, and we're honored to be part of your first missions conference. My wife and I, Sandy, been in the ministry 45 years this trip. We got married on a Friday night. We went to our first church service there for 20 years on a Sunday. And then after 20 years in that ministry, God called us into missions. And of course, our sending church is Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. And what we want to do is, as we start this missions conference off, is let you know that we've been in church planting and discipleship and also at starting churches. In fact, in Papua New Guinea alone, we have 8 churches around the Port Moresby area that we've been working with starting for over 25 years. They have their own national pastors, they have their own schools, and we're just finishing up the PNG Bible Project, where God has blessed it in a great way. And so I'm honored to be part of this, and I hope and pray that I also, on this side of the pond, as we call it, I still go over there, but I am a director for deputation in Canada School for BIMI, and that's we're recruiting missionaries. In fact, we have over 60 coming with us in June. If we're still not under wraps here, we'll try to have that, but if not, it's all the Lord's timing. So what I'd like you to do today in your Bibles as we start the conference here, is turning your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. And as you turn there, keep in mind, I've entitled this message, The Drama of the Gospel, one of the first times that the gospel was presented. And as you go, there's a missions conference. We want to you be aware of the missions outreach around the world, and that missions is the heartbeat of God. Just like the bus ministries that we have here at Lighthouse Baptist Church and go out into the highways and hedges and reach people, God wants us to go to the world. Missionaries need your prayer, especially at this time. Everybody's on lockdown. They cannot have any meetings in their fields where they serve or even raise support. Today, as I speak, I hope we always keep our eyes on the Lord, and L-O-R-D. As we'll listen to God's word today, we'll obey God's word today, and we'll respond to God's word, and then we'll do what God puts in our heart to do. As Paul, writing the church of Corinth, he tells us in chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction," and that's what we're in right now, my friend, "the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." And I hope today is that the Paul alluded about the emphasis of Christ wanting us all to be saved. You know, and as we go back to Mark chapter 2, I want you to keep in mind, as we'll start in verse 1 in just a moment, Jesus gives us that great commission that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth," or the end of the world. Isn't it great? God gives us the marching orders. And what I want to do today is have us understand in this great commission, how do we relate as a church? How do we relate as an individual? When does this involvement really come to our doorstep? And I hope today that you'll go in this journey with us for the next few minutes. And as I entitled this thought, The Drama of the Great Commission, this is one of the first stories of the drama of the gospel. Jesus had been in Capernaum, and he'd come back from Capernaum and went to other places. And I want you to join me in our story as I read our text today. And in this text, there are 5 different characters or 5 different spots of this drama. And we can't take one of them. That's the healer. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But you've all been in one of the other 4 sets of characters that's going to be in this drama. Let me read. Then we'll pray, and we'll get right into our message. The Bible tells us, and I hope you're with us in Mark chapter 2, verse 1. "And again he," Christ, "entered to Capernaum. And after some days it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word to them. Isn't that great? The word, preaching the word. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, where they could not come nigh unto him for the press. Covered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven. Folks, I want you to keep in mind, they brought that boy, their friend, to Jesus, not to get him healed, but to get him saved. The Bible says here, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say to a sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And he saith unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Folks, I want to encourage you this morning before we pray that God is in charge of everything. I know people are discouraged, people are worrying, and what's going on, not only not in the Dover, Pennsylvania, Chattanooga, Tennessee, or around the world. Can I encourage, God is in charge of this, God is at work, and may we continue to be part of his great commission. Let's pray at this time, then we'll start the message. Father, we thank you for the opportunity given us to meet as a church. I pray, Lord, for the heart of this Lighthouse Baptist Church and their ministry there in the area. Lord, you'll encourage the people, encourage the missionaries. Lord, everything we do and say will uplift you today in this service. And Father, we pray these things in your name. Amen. As you join me in your Bible, please, in Mark chapter 2, we're going to take a look at verse 3, and we're going to look at the first characters in this drama. And the first one I put under the title or the thought, helpless. I want you to understand, it says in verse 3 of our text that, and they come unto him, Jesus, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. Can I encourage you today that the thought palsy here, this boy was sick. It was not that his mind was bad, or he was not that he was blind, but for there was a disconnection between his brain and his muscular nervous system, and couldn't. I don't know if you've seen anybody like this, but years ago, I was preaching in Philadelphia at Pastor Pinatelli's church, and as I was getting ready to preach this message, I think it was last year or so, that a young man came into the church in a wheelchair. And on that wheelchair, it was electric powered, and it had a computer screen and a computer under his seat, and the preacher said, you know, Pastor Dan, Brother DeLong, I baptized him just 2 weeks ago, and I said, well, I'm going to preach this message on the boy with palsy. I need to go make sure it didn't hurt him or anything. So I went back to talk to his mom. I didn't even know the boy could respond. I was asking the mom, is it appropriate for me to preach this message? The little boy had typed in with his right hand, yes, sir, you can. The computer spoke to me, not him. And I said, man, that is so cool. And he typed back to me, yes, cool beans, isn't it? You know, and that boy had palsy, but he's not the worst person I've ever seen in my ministry. Years ago, I was in Michigan City, Indiana, in the bus ministry, and Pastor Robertson was with me on visitation. He came to speak for us at a conference. A call that one of the bus mothers or her niece had given birth to a little baby girl there. It was in St. Anthony's Hospital on the third floor, and the baby was premature. The mother had taken drugs during the pregnancy, and the child was not going to live. So myself and Pastor Robertson went up there in the afternoon after the bus ministry, went into that room, and the mother, the aunt, greeted us and said, do not be in shock, Brother DeLong, Brother Robertson, and don't be upset when you see the baby, but it's a good time to be witness to that mom and the husband. As we went over to that incubator and looked inside of that container, I'll never forget this, I just froze. Brother Robinson was right beside me. And as we looked into that incubator, and I looked, the little girl had, she had no left leg, no left arm. She, they had to make a mouth for her, no mouth, no left ear. She was not all there. As we were standing there, as the tears were running, the nurse walked up beside us. And she said, Reverend, you'd better pray for her. Her time is short. You know, when I looked at that little girl inside that incubator, I saw her. And I want to bring a thought to you all today in your homes and there at the church. You've got to understand that that girl was in that position, and it was not even her fault. Absolutely helpless. You know, the Bible's very clear that, and I want you to understand, every one of us is born without Christ, and we're absolutely helpless to get our way to heaven. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And Romans says on chapter, verse 23, chapter 6, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, therefore death passed upon all men. Folks, we've all sinned. I love what Romans 5:8 says, that God commendeth or giveth love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, I want you to know, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dan DeLong was absolutely helpless before Christ, just like this little girl was born in her condition. She did die the next day, and we had a funeral 3 or 4 days later. And none of that was on her, and I believe she's in heaven today. But on August 15th, 1969, I heard a message. God touched my heart. On that day, I left that helpless position, where I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know if you've ever done that or not, but I want to encourage you this morning, if you're in that helpless part of the stage or that helpless part of the drama, can you understand there are lost people in Dover, Pennsylvania. There's lost people in Appleton, Tennessee. There's lost people all around this world. And the Holy Spirit wants us to be a witness to them. And I'm sure you know somebody in your life today, whether it's a loved one, a friend, or a relative, that does not know Christ. May God touch your heart to be that helper to get them to Christ. You know, we're all born helpless about Jesus, but Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man may come to the Father but by me. If you're unsaved today, I hope and pray you'll trust Christ as personal Savior, and you'll leave that first spot on the stage where we're helpless. Now let's move to the second spot on our stage once we trust Christ as our personal Savior. Will you join me, please, in our text in chapter 2. Look what takes place in verse 3, 4, and 5. They came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it, they let it down, let down the bed wherein the sick palsy lay. And when Jesus saw all their faith, he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The second set of characters this play, this drama, is the helpers. The helpers were the four boys, the four men that went up on top of that roof. We don't get their names, but they wanted to get the boy to Jesus. When they got to the door, the press of the crowd was so big, the crowd was just packed that house. And so I think one of the boys might have been related to the owner of the house, because they got a ladder and got on top of that house and started taking it apart. If I could bring it into the 21st century we are today, you know, if I was one of those four individuals and I have a mission here to get my friend to Christ and to get him saved, you know, or a Home Depot and vibrator. So I need some electricity, and then somebody would get a ladder, and somebody would purchase a rope, and somebody would purchase a shovel or a mattock and a tape measure. And so they broke that roof up. They took it apart. The crowd sitting below, and I think the hole they made for that bed to go through was a little bit bigger than the coffin that young man was in. As I believe when they took this apart, I want you to notice the helpers here, and I want you to keep in mind the bed coming down from the ceiling through that air coming down to the floor, and that bed, people scooting right left over to back so the bed could get there. I can see Jesus looking to that little boy laying on that cot. He cannot control himself. He has no muscular control. I don't know if he could speak, but boy, he understood. And when Jesus, the Bible says in verse 5, I want you all to see this. This is why it's so keen to be a helper. And I believe once we trust Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to save us. He wants to sanctify us. He wants to prepare us. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, I want you to understand, he wants us to be that, can I say, missionary, that witness for him. And as old boys, Lord, that boy into that there meeting, Jesus says in verse 5, and when he saw their faith, not the people's, not the boys, but the men up on top of that roof, those four individuals, and I'll read it to you. It says in verse 5, it makes this thought, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I hope and pray that if you have anybody in your family, as I said earlier, anybody in your ministry, this is what a time to give them Christ during this coronavirus or during this time in our lives, not only here in Pennsylvania, but around the world. And I tell you what, when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their hearts, he said, we need. He said, I need. God saw their faith. I want, son, to forgive you of all your sins. You know, being in missions all these years, my wife has never preached a message, but she's been with me in missions all along the way. When her and I went to New Guinea, we was there for a little while, and we were in a building, and we were standing there and doing some work, and an 8-year-old girl walked in, and her mom, and they hadn't seen people like us. We was the only white folks up in this big gigantic valley way up over there in New Guinea, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she said something in her language, and I said, well, Adabinamona, that's good morning. And she said, Adabinamona back. And I said, Milau Buddha Harry, I'm fine. How are you? And she responded in her language. And I said, listen, I am a dumb American. I don't know any more of your language. She says, sir, I speak perfect English. Let's go to English. And you know, God put us together. To make a long story short, I invited her to church, and her and her mom, we took them home from this building, this store, and got permission from her family and her grandfather, who happened to be a mayor of a village of about 5,000 people over there in New Guinea and Burundi. And there was no church there. There was nobody picking kids up for church. And I invited her to come, and her mom and my wife invited some more. And that first Sunday, we had 8 people ride that van to church. The next week, we had to take 2 trips with the van. There's no laws in New Guinea at that time. So we'd put about 20 people in that van, and we'd make 3 trips. And her grandfather was the head mayor of that village, but he would never come to church. I'd invite him, and he said no. One day he took a Bible lesson off of my wife for 4th grade people, and my wife began to witness to him. He had never come to church, but for over a 4-year period, he had never stopped answering those questions in that piece of paper. And she would visit him on Saturday. My little granddaughter would translate because he could not understand English. And over a 4-year period, he got the gospel. Folks, I don't know what situation you're in, but I want you to understand God wants us to be helpers. And God said, I will help you. I will bless you. You see, the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I encourage you to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ today the best you can? I know we're all kind of on quarantine and stuff, but Lord, you can be a witness to them. Let people know you're praying for them, encouraging them. Not only was there the helpless, the helpers, but here's a third set of actors. Now, I want you to catch this. It's called the hinderers. As we say down in North Carolina, hinderers, all right? They kind of hold things back. The third group you'll see in verse 6 of our text, look what it says here. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning within their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who could forgive God, forgive sins but God only? And I want you to understand that these folks, these scribes, they weren't the sharpest knives in the drawer, amen? The problem was here, they didn't say anything out loud, but they were thinking in their self-righteous hearts. And as they were thinking, I want you to understand, God was in control of this. And I want you to understand, he said, why do you reason these things in your heart? Why do you want to hinder people from going to heaven? Their problem was they didn't understand they were dealing with God. They didn't realize that they were dealing with the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were only interested in themselves. They could care less about this helpless young lad. They could care less about the helpers up on top of the roof. And they could care less about anybody and anything except their self-righteousness. I don't think there's one person in Lighthouse. I don't think there's one person in Dover and in your church there that wants to be a hinderer. And I hope and pray that you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ knows our hearts. He wants us to be the most gracious, kindest witness that we can be. My first Sunday in Papua, in Australia, starting a church, we didn't know how many we was going to have. We were planning for 10. 7 showed up. And right across the street, I went to get 7 cups of coffee and a dozen donuts. Good Baptist Church, amen. And as I got that, I was heading back with carrying the coffee in one hand and a container, a carrier, and had a bag of donuts in the other. And a drunken man stopped me in the street. And he said, sir, when are you going to go home? I said, well, we're going home after church today about noon. He said, no, Yank, when are you going to go back to the States? And then he called me every name in the book. And before I could get my coffee to the ground, he was getting ready to take a swing at me. I'd never had this happen to me. Praise the Lord for a Christian man that was coming to the church, got calmed him down. And that man began to absolutely hate our little church. His house was right next to the building we was renting. Our first Sunday, when he got done, he went to his house and we're having that service. Our first Sunday, he starts his riding lawnmower up. There's no windows in this building. Drives right up next to the building and puts it on high idle for about an hour. You know, that is trying to hinder the cause of Christ. Amen. We had our service. Praise the Lord. 2 weeks later, he tried the same thing, but his motor blew up. Amen. A year went by and his brother was killed in Sydney, Australia in a motorcycle accident. We found out about it and our church took a special offering because he didn't have enough money to make it to his brother's funeral. You know, that man never did trust Christ as a personal savior, but he came back and apologized to me 2 years later and said, I'm so sorry. Later on, an individual led him to Christ. I want to encourage you never to be a hinderer in the cause of Christ. And during this time in our lives, this coronavirus time, I'm telling you, God is going to put on your heart to be a helper to those that are hurting in a great way. Do not hinder the process. Follow the Holy Spirit. Listen, obey, respond, and do what God tells you to do. Can I say this, number 4? We cannot play this part of the drama, and that's the healer. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the helpless in this story. There's the helpers in this story. There's the hinders in this story. And then there's the healer. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man may go to the Father but by me. And you see Jesus all through these 12 verses here. You see him in verse 1, 3, all 5, all through the thing. And Jesus basically, he leads that boy, gets him saved, tells the scribes they need to get saved. He honors the young men on top of that roof for helping. And at the end of the day, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, I know he's the only one can heal us through this coronavirus thing. I believe God's in control of everything, don't you? As Jesus, I think of him and how he can meet your needs today as the healer. The Bible says, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 4:14 says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall be in him as well as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know, folks, I hope and pray that you get a hold of the fact that the Lord is the healer of all. He can take care of any situation. My mom's, my wife's daddy is 89 years old, been in intensive care for 28 days, 2 surgeries, about ready. He wants to meet the Lord, and it's been a tough time. We've been locked out of not visiting now because of the virus. But, you know, we accept that God's will. And we've witnessed every nurse, every doctor we've come in contact with, because we don't want to be a hindrance to this situation. And I want you to understand, Jesus can heal anything that we're in, anything that we're facing. The last set of characters, and I think we're all in this again, us that want to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll see the happy. Look what it says in verse 12. And immediately he arose, that's the boy, and took up the bed and went forth from them all in so much that they all were amazed. That's everybody. They'd never seen it on this fashion. I think the guys on the roof, they didn't take the ladder down. They jumped off the roof. I think the little boy picked his bed up, went out immediately. And I don't think he made it too far before his four mates may have tackled him, you know, and hugged him. And he may have jumped up and down for him. And they were just praising the Lord out there in the street. I think all the good Christians, those that knew Christ as their personal Savior, were saying amen. And I think that even the scribes, it says here, they were all amazed. When you study that and see it, that means they were happy, not for the boy's sake, not for the lads on top of the roof's sake, but for the cause of Christ, because they'd never seen it on this fashion before. You know, folks, we've never seen a virus like this before. We've never seen the world in the shape it is in before. Hey, I think God's got our attention, amen? And I hope we as Christians that we get right and we stay right and we do right and we'll be that witness that God wants us to be. There's five parts of this play. We can only play four of them. There's the helpless. There's the helpers. There's the hinderers. We can't do the healer. That's God Almighty. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's the happy. You know, as I close my message here, I want you to keep in mind of this thought of my wife and witnessing to that gentleman there at Biruni Village. For all those 4 years, he would never come to church. But for 4 years, every Saturday, my wife would take him a new Bible lesson. He would answer the questions because Noi Noi, the young lady, would print it out for him, or she would translate it for him. He never missed a question. In our fifth year there, we got a call from Noi Noi. Said, Grandpa, Boo Boo is what they call him there. He's dying. He's got liver cancer. So he wants the missionaries to come. So my wife and I went over there. We took two translators with us. Sister Ray and another young lady. So we went over there, and I got my Bible out. Man, I got my big Bible just like I got here. I'm preaching out of today. And I'm going up the steps to his house to give him the gospel. And as I got up there, I went to go in, and Noi Noi, the old man, waved and stopped me. Said, no, I want to talk to the missionary's wife. I don't want to talk to the missionary. I said, what? And so I went back down the steps, told my wife, and she went up the steps with the two translating ladies. They were translating his language. And I just paced back and forth. I'm pacing about half mad. Why does not he want me to get him to Jesus? And about a half hour went by, and I could hear my wife crying through the walls. I could hear that man talking in his language. I could hear Noi Noi translating. I could hear the ladies translating. I heard them begin to cry. And I heard him pray the prayer of salvation's prayer, the sinner's prayer. And he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. Now, I want you to understand, my wife came down the steps and she said, oh, praise the Lord, Dan, he got saved. The two ladies came by. That one lady was very outgoing. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Miss Sandy led the head man to the village to Christ. Preacher, isn't this great? I looked at her and said, yes, that's great. Amen. Get in the truck. And they got in the truck. I said, give me a minute. I went up the steps, knocked on the door. Noi Noi opened it. The old man came forward. He's very sick with this liver cancer. And I said, praise the Lord that you got saved. And he said, thank you, sir. I said, I got to ask you a question. Why did you not want me as the missionary to lead you to Christ? And I'll never forget this. He looked at me and said, missionary, you're not the one that's been showing me Christ. It's been your wife. For 4 years, she brought me these lessons. For these 4 years, she never gave up on me. And I wanted her to have the privilege to win me to Jesus. Folks, I don't know what part you play in your life and your ministry that God's given you, but I want to encourage you in these days that we have, unusual, unprecedented, unbelievable. Man, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was in New Guinea. 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, until 15 days ago, I was in conferences. And now that's all finished. But you know what? God is not done. May we take this time, that's it's set in history. It's changing our world. May we be the characters, the helpers for the Lord Jesus Christ to get the lost, those that need healed, get them to the healer, knowing at the end of the day, we all will be happy. Pastor Walsh, the invitation's yours.
I think we could all see ourselves in these different characters. Let me go back to the first one real quick. The helpless. Bible says there's none right.